This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Does your arm still hurt?
It's a bit tender. It's a little swollen, some redness. That's fine. It's less than 24 hours old.
I expected some sort of like a covering and some salve. Dennis got his fourth tattoo yesterday. Mm-hmm. What did you get? Spider-Man on your arm?
No. It's not Spider-Man.
What is it?
It's Mr. Miracle. He's a DC Comics character. He's mm-hmm. a little bit more lesser-known character. But
why Mr. Miracle?
Why is him? It?
Yeah, what is it about Mr. Miracle that made you want it on your body?
It's a long story. It's a very long story. I won't deep dive too much into it, but I was able to just personally connect to the character in a story written by Tom King and illustrated by Mitch Gerrards. That was really able to connect to, and it's really meant a lot to me, and it's a nice just daily reminder. I'm not going to deep dive. Yeah, so
it's emotional. I get. That's fine. That's good.
It genuinely is. So it's I'm not afraid. I mean, I've got Swamp Thing. I've got a Wonder Woman thing. I've got Rorschach. So I've got several different stuff that's all meant, has some sort of personal meaning to me.
The Rorschach mm-hmm. tattoo is, depending on who's looking at it.
Yeah,
it looks like something else.
It could be.
That's good. I would get Escher. An Escher print. You've seen those Eschers, which you'd have to go look it up online.
Okay.
Google Escher, and then it'll show you different prints by Escher. They're cool. They're cool to have. Anyway.
I was like, Escher the town in England?
No, not Escher the town in England.
Okay.
Escher the artist.
You get a landscape?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think we actually have an Escher printing out here in the hallway.
The one with the stairway all going. It's continuous.
The one with like the birds flying in opposite directions.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, we can get you a back piece of that.
I don't want that. I don't want that.
I know a guy.
I don't want anybody to put anything on my back. All right. Let's get to the news of the year. I realize it's June. I'm sorry, it's July now, July 1.
Yeah, we're halfway through the year.
Happy Canada Day.
Yes!
Happy Canada Day.
I was going to bring that up in Halftime Entertainment.
To, just in case, my guy Brad, happy Canada Day to you. Mark the Canuck, happy Canada Day to you, just in case. I know people from our neighbors to the north. Happy Canada Day.
You know what the first official sport of Canada was?
Lacrosse.
Exactly.
You're not going to get me on that.
Mm-hmm. I know. I wasn't going to get you. I just wanted you to say it.
Have I not praised lacrosse enough for you? I like lacrosse.
You buried it yesterday.
No. I buried it. Yeah, I buried betting on Premier Lacrosse League.
Because you can make money off of it.
Good. Do it. Do it already. All right. So the news of the day. Yesterday, it broke about an hour from now. Southern Cal, UCLA, leaving the Pac-12, going to the Big Ten. By essentially middle of the evening Eastern time, it was official.
Mm-hmm.
It was, they were invited, they were accepted, and they're starting in 24. Wow.
Yeah.
The SEC is like, wait a second. We got to wait like an additional year, and we started with Texas and Oklahoma a year earlier, and it created all of this, I mean, a lot of chaos. This one's going to create chaos, but I don't get the sense that there are people as angry as they were a year ago, even though I think this move is way more dire for the overall landscape of college sports than Texas and Oklahoma leaving the Big 12 for the SEC.
We all knew the Big 12 was going to dissipate anyway.
Yeah, and we should have also thought that the Pac-12 was in a very similar spot. They have a conference network that does zero for the league, really nothing for the league. It doesn't really create revenue.
No.
Like, with all respect to people who are connected to the ACC network, the programming is not great. Other than Packer and Durham, which, I mean, I like Wes and I like Mark.
Which just ended today.
Which just aired their last episode today. and we don't know what's coming on the other side of this summer break. Other than that, they do a good job with their pre and post game on ACC Network. Jordan Cornette leading the football crew and whomever is leading the basketball crew, and they have games, but for the most part, there's no programming. I mean, we had to bitch and moan for them to get before we finally saw an ACC baseball tournament game. Until they got to the semifinals, we didn't have any ACC baseball tournament games on the ACC Network, which of course is dumb. So they're not doing a great job with that, but it is creating revenue for the league. So that's good. Pac-12 Network, nothing. And, you know, they're West Coast time. They were trying to think, well, maybe we should play games at noon Eastern, 9 o'clock local time. Yeah, I mean, there's an idea to do that, to become part of the noon window. I would argue that if you're going to do that, why not just kick games off at 6 a.m. local time and put games on at 9 a.m.
Why not?
Eastern time.
Why not?
So, because the late night games were cool and all that, but they're not real ratings winners. So they're already working against some things. But then your two biggest properties fly. So now, what does it mean for everybody else? Specifically here, what does it mean for the ACC? And I will tell you what it means for the ACC. It means that you either figure out a way to make Notre Dame a full-time member, or you will have 14 other members looking to leave. That's it. Flat out, looking to leave. The SEC is going to become minimal a $75 million a year media payout. Minimum. It's probably going to be close to $100 million a year media payout. The Big Ten is going to be higher than the SEC, and I think we'll get to nine figures per school with Southern Cal and UCLA, and they are next to the renegotiation table. The ACC is never bridging that gap. Even with Notre Dame, they're not going to come close to the SEC and the Big Ten, but they could at least be respectable. Without Notre Dame as a full-time member, no chance. No chance. In fact, I would say that without Notre Dame as a full-time member, they're probably not getting higher than 45, which means that I think at best they will have 50% of what the SEC will get, at best. And honestly, I'm not even sure they can get to 45 unless they can convince Notre Dame to be a full-time member.
You also think if you're Notre Dame, the way everything's changing, at some point, at least I think, they're going to have to join somebody.
Been saying this for a long time.
They're going to have to.
Right. And I know that people think that, oh, Notre Dame will just join the Big Ten. And they might. I'm not saying they won't. I'm not sure Notre Dame wants to. I think Notre Dame joins the Big Ten, and with Southern Cal in and with Ohio State and with Michigan, Notre Dame is just one of the top dogs. Mm-hmm. Some people might not like to hear that, but Notre Dame in the ACC becomes the top dog.
Yeah.
And there is something to that. Alabama's the top dog in the SEC. For now, anyway. I mean, it could be Georgia down the road, but Alabama's the top dog in the SEC.
Oh, no, Texas is back.
Hold on, I was going to say.
Texas is back.
If Texas becomes back, Texas might be the top dog, too. Mm-hmm. Might make a claim to that at some point, but right now it's Alabama. But Notre Dame would be the top dog in the ACC. With all that said, still probably a long shot. I mean, I'm not saying it's, 10%. I think it's higher than that. I don't think it's above 50. But the ACC has to convince Notre Dame that in order for this all to work, you've got to be a part of this. They're hoping that the grant of rights, which I don't know if you heard me say this before, we'll talk about it again later. Grant of rights means that your media earnings during the length of your contract, mm-hmm. and Notre Dame's contract with the ACC runs through, I believe, 2036, that media earnings through 2036, whatever those are, go to the ACC. That's what grant of rights means. We will find out if that's ironclad enough to be true, or if Notre Dame can get out for, let's just say, 25 cents on the dollar. And if that's the case, Notre Dame might leave, if it's about money. But we've heard from Notre Dame that it's not about money, it's about culture. Mm. We'll find out.
Yep.
We'll find out if it's really about culture or if it's about money, because even Notre Dame needs money. I will say this before we take a break. Notre Dame is leaving money on the table right now.
Yeah.
Notre Dame would make more money as a member of the ACC than they are currently making before what happened with the Big Ten and the two LA schools. Notre Dame is leaving money on the table. Very quickly, here's what I would do if I was the ACC. You make your play to Notre Dame. You go to Oregon. You go to Washington. You go to Stanford. You go to Cal. Colorado.
Might as well.
Right? And you say, you five.
Somebody's They're calling you right now. They're calling you right now. Was it from Colorado?
Yes. You five. You five plus the Irish. We're going to 20.
Do it.
And guess what? I still think that that's probably only worth about $60 million a year.
Hey.
But it's way better than it is right now, mm-hmm. and it's way better than the alternative.
Yep.
The alternative is ugly. It's all about California these days. We will get to that with our friend Luke DeCock of the News and Observer, columnist, joins us even when he's on vacation. It was a podcast with me even when he is on vacation. What a gentleman. Before we get to the college football world melting down around us, Luke, I wanted to at least spend a couple of minutes on the state of North Carolina's failure to approve sports wagering because of, I believe, the massive impact it will have not only on us as people, but on the hockey team that we love in the Hurricanes, who were really counting on that being a part of renovations to PNC Arena. And they still can be, because I think eventually it will happen. But what do you think the fallout is for the Hurricanes, where the Hurricanes are concerned?
Well, I mean, part of the problem is, and Tom Dundon talked about this last year in a Q&A I did with him over the summer, is in a cap league, you know, the players get half the revenue. That's the way it works. So when other teams have gambling revenue, the players get half of that. The Hurricanes have to spend that money because that salary cap goes up. So they have to spend that money without getting that revenue. So it creates this sort of, you know, everyone can maximize their own revenue streams, whether it's television or sponsorship mm-hmm. or ticket sales or whatever. But you have this very large revenue stream that you can't have any part of, and that puts you at a serious competitive disadvantage. So, you know, in what we saw from the Centennial Authority this week and the drawings and renderings and sort of ideas for the long overdue renovation of PNC, one of the things that was said was, you know, we can still do a sports book. We can build a sports book space and just have it not be a sports book until it's all approved, which makes a lot of sense. But that doesn't change the fact that the money won't be coming in. And the money isn't from operating a sports book that gets outsourced. It's from the sponsorship mm-hmm. and the increased television revenue. That's where the money comes from, and the Hurricanes will miss out on that.
I mean, look, there's a lot of places. Here at this radio station, this radio show, we're missing out on like if you watch or listen to any sports on TV or radio, there is you're like inundated with sports betting commercials. We talk to Trey Wingo, I don't know, like once a month or so. And Wingo comes on and goes, service of Caesars Sportsbook. Danny Cannell, whenever we have Danny Cannell on. BetUS.whatever. I don't even know. There's so many of them. DraftKings, I'm surprised Will, when he comes on every Monday. I'm surprised you don't have a sports boy. You can't. You're in the state of North Carolina. Will's more, Will's a national thing. I just wonder this. I've always felt like the Hurricanes were never in danger, ever in danger of moving because of the way the NHL viewed this market. But I just wonder if things change if our state legislature doesn't.
You know, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I don't think it helps. You know, I think more important in terms of keeping the Hurricanes here is giving Dundon the green light to do $2 billion in development around the arena. I mean, that's just like Jeff Vinnick in Tampa. The team is almost secondary to the development that you can do. And that's really the last giant unexploited piece of useful land, you know, in Raleigh that's connected to transportation and whatever. And, you know, it's not going to be taxpayer money, all that stuff. It should have happened 20 years ago. Now there's finally someone who's willing to do it. And if the state and county and city and Centennial Authority, and especially and primarily NC State, get in the way of that, then I do think there is a risk the team could move. I think that's a much bigger risk than gambling not passing. But there's still a lot of water to go into that bridge. There's certainly no reason to panic. And all of these renovations to the inside of PNC, which could cost $200 million or more, to be paid for by the money that's already in the tourism tax fund, that's not going to happen unless there's a long-term lease extension. Mm-hmm. So this is all a synergistic cycle. One hand is washing the other here. This stuff all has to happen together and in sequence. And honestly, sports gambling was a big part of that.
Yep.
And if the legislature can't get sports gambling across the line, what are they and the Council of State going to do when it comes time to sign off on new use of the land around PNC? That certainly is a bit of a warning sign there. If they can't get something this obvious done, are they going to be able to do something that's going to be relatively controversial and complicated in terms of using that state land for private development?
I think it's a no-brainer. Everything gets done if we get sports gambling. And I think it's I'm not going to put a percentage on it because I don't know what the percentage might be. But I do think that it throws everything into question if they can't do this. And they voted against it on the worst possible grounds.
The dumbest.
I mean, it's as though we want 1955 to come back.
Think about it, Adam. We have just shot down a gambling bill by one vote because somebody, in part because somebody said, what about the Dixie Classic? Meanwhile, mere days later, the ACC itself is on the verge of falling apart. Like, how could you be more out of touch with the world as it is? It's shocking. As I wrote, the General Assembly is the all-time world champion of missing the point entirely. And man, did this one go over their heads.
It was shocking how dumb and misguided it was. All right, you mentioned you led us into it. How much?
Perfect segue. Yeah.
How much do you think the ACC really is in danger?
Massively.
Mm-hmm.
Massively, because the grant of rights, which is supposed to keep all these teams here till 2036, every year that's a little less money. And smart lawyer, and every year the other conferences, in this case the Big Ten and the SEC, are making more money. And the gap's $40 million now. What's it going to look like in 10 years? So there's smart. If you're a school in the ACC that's attractive to the SEC or Big Ten, and that's basically UNC, Clemson, Florida State, maybe Miami, you know, Duke might get in on UNC's coattails, maybe Virginia. But if you're one of those schools and you haven't already paid lawyers to figure out how to get out of the grant of rights, you should be impeached because that's your basic job right now. Honestly, UNC's job right now, the number one priority for Kevin Guskowitz and Bubba Cunningham, the Board of Trustees, should be figuring out a way out of the ACC because they're one of the schools that has a parachute, and there are a bunch that don't, and there's only going to be a few schools that get to move, and you want to be at the front of that line. My guess is by the end of July, Clemson and Florida State are in the SEC. North Carolina, Notre Dame, maybe Duke are in the Big Ten, and everybody else is left in the rump Big East trying to figure out what to do next. And if that does happen, you know, I think there's no doubt in my mind that NC State and Wake and the Virginia schools should absolutely, you know, dissolve the ACC as exists and start over without Pitt and Louisville and Boston College and Syracuse. I mean, there's no point to stay in that arrangement once the ACC is no longer a Power 2 conference. So I mean, I think I did not think Oklahoma and Texas were a big deal because everyone knew the Big 12 was going to, you know, fall mm-hmm. apart at some point anyway. But this, to me, this is a big domino. And this, you know, the Pac-12, as we knew it, is done. I think Clemson and Florida State will jump soon. I think, you know, I don't even know if the Grand Rights can hold up in court if it comes to that. So, you know, Notre Dame's supposed to join a conference. If they join a conference, they're supposed to join the ACC. I don't know how you could ever enforce that. You know, so if UNC and Notre Dame joined the Big Ten tomorrow, I'd be the least surprised person on the planet.
Well, they don't have to join the ACC if there's no ACC.
Well, there's that too. Sure.
Just to clarify, grant of rights, the way I read it, your media rights that you earn get left at the ACC line. So if Notre Dame and Duke, for instance, and Carolina and Virginia all went to the Big Ten and the media rights deal got them $100 million each, according to the grant of rights, that would all transfer to whatever was left of the ACC.
Yeah, now, you sound like someone who's never been to law school.
Right, no. What I was going to say is there's no way on earth that won't be negotiated down.
You could, if you're the Big Ten, you could say, hey, look, we're going to put all this money in escrow and you can have it in 2036. But in the meantime, you can borrow against it.
True.
I'm dumb and I can come up with a million ways to get around this. I mean, Bobby Bonilla's agent can come up with a million ways to get around this because it's Bobby Bonilla Day.
Yeah. It is Bobby Bonilla. It's also Brett Saberhagen Day. Brett Saberhagen gets $250,000 from the Mets. But here's the thing.
I don't see the grant of rights as a factor here at all. Not if you've done your homework.
Right. And what ultimately could happen is you could simply negotiate a one lump sum figure, $250,000 to get out.
Yeah, I don't. Not 250,000. Leverage to do even that.
You can get 25 cents on the dollar to leave. Maryland didn't play. I don't think paid a full exit fee. They paid a good chunk of money, but they did not pay a full exit fee when they left for the Big Ten. Is there anything that you believe, and I'm not sure that there is there anything that Jim Phillips can do to convince Notre Dame to stay in the ACC and form a league, adding some other schools, whoever those might be, that would get you to, let's just say, $60 to $65 million annually on a payout?
No, I think the ship has sailed. But Notre Dame knows it can go to the Big Ten if it wants to. It's just a question of whether or not it will. There's no reason for Notre Dame to continue this half-pregnant arrangement with the ACC when there's more money on the table elsewhere. To me, the only thing that can save the ACC right now, and let's just bring this full circle, Adam, like a couple of professionals, the only thing that can save the ACC is the North Carolina General Assembly. Because
right. So we can bet on whether or not the ACC will dissolve?
So not only has the General Assembly coughed up $15 million for the ACC for no reason, that money is predicated on an unnamed conference, having four charter members in the state of North Carolina. So if UNC picks up stakes and leaves, the $15 million for the ACC office is off the table. And remember what happened with Virginia Tech in the first round of the ACC expansion. They got yoked to Virginia by the Virginia governor and the Virginia legislature. If the legislature tells UNC it can't leave the ACC, suddenly the ACC still has some viability. And maybe it finds a way to shed Syracuse and Boston College and Pitt and start over as the regional conference it once was and build on that strength. But I you know, UNC is a public school. State's a public school. Clemson is to a certain extent. I don't think South Carolina cares as much. But if the legislature wanted to keep North Carolina in the ACC, to North Carolina's own detriment, possibly, it could do that. So to me, that's the one thing that's hanging out there. Is a sort of Virginia Tech power play, but in reverse.
Yeah, but then the ACC becomes the boutique league it was trying to avoid being way back in the day, and we are now, because you will lose Clemson, and you will lose Florida State, and you will lose Miami, and who knows, you know, which other school will leave. You will lose your football, and then you become, you become like even a watered down American at this point.
Well, you become the Big East, the very thing you swore to destroy.
Right. Luke Dukak, appreciate your time. Happy July 4th and happy Canada Day to you.
Yeah, well, we talked some hockey, so it's okay to talk about Canada there.
Thanks, man. Talk to you later.
See you both.
You got it. Luke Dukak of the News and Observer here on The Adam Gold Show. It's time for Halftime Refreshments.
And now your Halftime Entertainment.
Wow, didn't even put any time on the board today.
You know me, I like to stay on time, Dennis.
Of course, absolutely. We have hard outs for a reason. All right, let's go into some movie and TV news here real quick. So the prequel for the Despicable Me movies, known as Minions, The Rise of Gru,
right,
debuted, had their preview night in theaters. It officially came out in theaters today, but their preview night was yesterday. To the tune of over $10 million here across the U.S., $10.75 million to be exact. Now, if you're looking at, in a comparison to other movies, Despicable Me 3, Thursday night previews only did $4.1 million, and opening weekend led to $72.4 million. So projections for this film are actually going to be much higher than that. I think they're projecting over $100 million this weekend on Minions, The Rise of Gru. Animated film. I'm not going to lie, I'll probably wait till it comes out on a streaming service to watch this one, but I am intrigued to actually see it, though, because I do enjoy the Despicable Me movies. I think they're fun.
Will there be another Pharrell video?
I hope.
That was Happy, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. I like that video. It was a fun video.
Yes.
He wears a lot of cool hats.
He does wear a lot of cool hats. By the way, the only two movies to hit theaters that have hit over $1 billion since the start of the pandemic. Number one, Spider-Man No Way Home, which was $1.89 billion. Movie was fantastic.
Okay.
Second one, Top Gun Maverick.
Really?
Yep. Just hit over $1 billion. Doctor Strange, the second Doctor Strange movie, was over $900 million. I didn't quite reach the billion. So here's the thing. I know a lot of theaters suffered during the pandemic, but for me, as a movie goer and a movie fan, I still love going to the movie theater. It is nice that movies going out still can draw big at the box office.
Absolutely.
That gets me excited. That keeps me happy because I think theaters should stick around. That's my personal opinion.
Excellent. Yes, I agree.
Now to the streaming platforms. Now, back in August of last year, Peacock ordered a Field of Dreams scripted series.
What?
Yes, they ordered that in August of last year. I think this tied in a lot when the Major League Baseball Field of Dreams game was played, and there was a lot of buzz around the game. Well, Peacock ordered it to be in continuity, I guess you could say, with the original movie that came out in 1989. I wasn't sure if it was going to be a, you know, hey, this is what happens in the cornfields, you know, type deal. Mm-hmm. Didn't know. Maybe it's just a continuation of what happens afterwards. You never know. It could be a present-day thing where the daughter now runs the baseball field. Who knows? But that script, at least Peacock, this is according to Hollywood Reporter and Variety, again, was ordered by Peacock back in August last year, has chosen to drop the series, but that doesn't mean, with the script being written, that another platform can't pick it up. Now, Michael Schur, who's the creator of The Good Place, that television show, as well as a co-creator of Parks and Recreation, was the person that was tabbed to be both the writer and executive producer of the show. So with his cachet of having success with on the small screen, my guess is that someone, another platform, whether it's Amazon, Netflix, Paramount, whomever, might try and pick up this series, is my guess.
I won't watch.
I probably wouldn't either. I'm honestly not intrigued by a Field of Dreams TV show.
No, I'm not either. First of all, I know this sounds snooty. I don't mean to sound snooty.
Go on.
The movie Field of Dreams was great.
I thought it was a really good movie.
Right? The book
was also very good.
Oh, you read the book.
I have read
Shoeless Joe, phenomenal book. Better than the movie. Yeah. Obviously, books allow you to go into far greater detail than the movies do. The movie's great, and the movie really does work true to the book. But I mean, I just don't think that works in a scripted series.
Mm-hmm.
But I think are we going to have like a season with all of these imaginary players?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that will work.
So I just don't. I don't buy it. I don't buy it.
I don't buy it either.
How did Clerks, the TV series, work?
There was a TV series? It was an animated show,
wasn't
it? Yeah,
it was animated, but essentially it's Clerks.
Yeah. No, it didn't.
So, I mean, I don't know if it worked or not. I didn't watch it.
Well, has anyone ever talked about it?
I'm sure people did.
I'm sure people did watch it, but I did not. By the way, speaking of Clerks, Kevin Smith continues to tease out images for Clerks 3. The trailer of that drops on Wednesday of next week. So that is coming here in the very near future.
Excellent.
The trailer, that is. Yeah. Also on the small screen, Stranger Things Volume 2. So this is an extension of Season 4. Not an extension. Continuation of Season 4. The Season 4 that just dropped about 6 weeks ago. Episodes 8 and 9 drop today on Netflix. I will be watching this. So with this coming out, I still need to watch I think it's episode 7 that just came out today of The Boys. I still have a few episodes of Miss Marvel to catch up on Disney+. I need 3 days this weekend in order to watch up on all these things. But Stranger Things Volume 2 of Season 4 is what they officially call it. Again, it's episodes 8 and 9. Drop today. Episode 8, runtime about 1 hour 25 minutes. Episode 9, 2.5 hours. So, get your popcorn ready.
That's a movie. It's actually a long movie.
It's a long feature movie. Well, that's one of the reasons why they decided to split it, is so people can watch the first 7 episodes, have time to do so, leave you with the cliffhanger, then bring you back for these 2 longer episodes. I'm okay with it. Keeps everyone. Here's the thing. It works because it gets people talking about it, and it gives people time to catch up because they hear people talking about it. And then you have that anticipation of that ending, that payoff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Happy Canada Day.
Yeah.
I would like to thank Canada for lacrosse, lacrosse being their official sport, I should say.
What else would you like to thank Canada for?
Bret Hart.
Okay.
And hockey.
Well.
And all the other great professional wrestlers they've
been. let's see.
Jim Carrey.
John Candy.
Rick Moranis.
There you go. We're Ann Murray. Stop.
Okay.
Stop.
We'll just stop there at Ann Murray.
Yeah. Stop at Ann Murray.
I know we talked about doing this possibly today, but we had to kind of blow the show up.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
We talked about this earlier this week. Steph Curry's going to host the ESPYs.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know Steph Curry was hosting
the
ESPYs.
I just saw that earlier this
Good
morning.
Good for him.
Yeah. We want to create a new ESPY category.
A whole series of ESPY categories.
Yes, a whole series of ESPY categories. I would like to create the Angel Hernandez Dumb Official of the Year Award.
Oh, gosh.
Or Terrible Official.
Worst Official of the Year.
Yes.
In any sport.
In honor of Angel Hernandez. I think the inaugural winner of that should be Angel Hernandez.
He gets lifetime achievement. Immediately.
I thought Joe West was going to get that.
See, when we talked to Elliot Johnson,
mm-hmm.
Elliot likes Joe West.
Yeah. He can still be
likable. I trust Elliot Johnson's opinion of that. He likes Joe West. So, yeah, we do. We have to come up with a whole bunch of new ESPYs categories. Worst official, worst call. Dumbest managerial decision. Like,
I would like to do the most drama.
Well, that's
team category and individual category for most drama.
Well,
drama.
Individual category, that's Kyrie, right?
Is it?
Or is it Kyrie or is it Baker Mayfield?
Could be.
Right?
I would say Kyrie.
Oh, yeah, no. Kyrie has been.
Yeah. Oh, another great one.
Lifetime achievement.
Yeah. Yeah. But also, like, team drama, too. Like, okay, what's the team drama? The team category.
The Nets are falling apart.
Well, there's, yeah.
Completely falling apart at the seams. They came close to building the team that they thought they were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kyrie, Durant, they brought Harden in, and then Kyrie refused to play home games.
Yeah.
That's essentially what he did. He refused to play home games. He decided, for no reason really, other than, you're not going to tell me what to do. I mean, is there a doubt that that's what it was about?
Mm-hmm.
You are not going to tell me what I'm going to do. Because that's the way I think about it. So you have that. He leaves his team out, hung out to dry. No Kyrie. James Harden comes back. And then they just had some injury issues. Harden wasn't healthy. Durant got hurt. But ultimately, when you have three stars and they're all together and you're playing theoretically 82 games, you can survive the loss of one or even two if there's enough continuity. Kyrie saw to it that there wasn't any continuity. He guaranteed it. And the truth is that as a feature player, as a lead guy, Kyrie has been, as talented as he is, somewhat of a failure. Didn't work in Boston.
Nope.
Now, I don't know that he was the lead guy, but I think Durant did kind of acquiesce to Kyrie a little bit. And as soon as Kyrie opted in, he knew that Kyrie's days were numbered, and then Durant essentially opted out. But tons of drama. All right. Speaking of drama.
Oh, I also want to throw out another category.
One more thing.
Worst contract.
Ooh, well, that's a good one.
Yeah. That actually would be like, okay, who actually signed the worst contract?
A good one.
Yeah.
And by the way, both of those belong to the Atlanta Braves. No, wait.
Or is it Cleveland Browns with Deshaun Watson's contract?
Oh, that. No, worst contract from a player's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Ronald Acuna Jr., Ozzie Albies. Those two guys are criminally underpaid.
Yeah.
Criminally underpaid. Like, there are guys that signed contracts before they hit it big in other sports. Like, if you look at Nathan McKinnon's contract now, mm-hmm. he makes, I think, $6.3 million for, I think, one more year in Colorado. I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
Right? You know, David Pastrnak earns under $7 million. Brad Marchand earns under $7 million. These guys, like, are underpaid. But nobody is as underpaid in relation to the best at their position as those two guys, as Albies and Ronald Acuna. Nobody. Luke Dukak painted a very dark picture of the future of the ACC. I don't know that it's as dark as Luke paints it. However, that means that the ACC cannot do anything that would keep it together as a major league. There may just be two major leagues. The only hope is that the ACC adds Notre Dame and can figure out a way to at least maintain some level of high caliber football. But we said this. Always helps when your best football playing schools are playing good football. And for a long time, Florida State didn't. Miami didn't. Virginia Tech was
Mm-hmm.
And it was essentially left to Clemson. They carried the water.
They did.
They carried it.
But here's the thing. 1 year of a slip up, put that in quotes for them. Look what happened.
Yeah. So, we'll see how the grant of rights works, but I've always said this. Contracts, you can always get out of them. Everybody's got a price. Everybody's got a price. Speaking of prices, prices are high as we place our bets.
Place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Yeah. Okay, you can owe me. I owe you one.
I'm 4 for 4 betting Wimbledon.
You are.
I had a bet that I thought lost. Turns out won. So I'm very excited about that. Liam Brody, who beat Diego Schwartzman. It looked like he was about to get beat, but he came back, won the third set, won the fourth, and that was it. Good for Liam Brody, a Brit. Anyway, I'm at plus 3775.
Very nice.
All right, Dennis is fighting his way back to the Mendoza line.
You know, on Wednesday, the bets I made was a plus 275.
There you go.
All the bets I gave yesterday are for this weekend, so I didn't lose any money.
You're still doing well.
You know, minus 900, better than the minus, what was it, 2,600, whatever it was.
It was you were a long way from zero. All right, sir, you start.
All right, going to UFC 276 this weekend because I know that's what you want to hear. Bantamweight matchup between Sean O'Malley and Pedro Munhoz. Pedro Munhoz has lost four of his last five fights. Now, he's fought top contenders like Jose Aldo, Aljamain Sterling, some of those guys. But, again, he's lost four of his last five, all by decision. Sean O'Malley's a knockout artist at 135. Give me O'Malley not only to win, but win by TKO, knockout, or DQ at plus 140.
All right. Pedro Munhoz also is a middle reliever for the Minnesota Twins.
Oh, very nice.
So, yeah.
He moonlights as a UFC fighter.
Having a good year. All right. Play number one at Wimbledon today. I might go 3-for-3.
You just might.
At the All England Club. I'm going back on the Liam Brody train.
Of course.
What do you have against Liam Brody?
None. I don't even know who he is. You can line him up on a wall. I couldn't pick him out.
I mean, he's a Brit.
Sure.
He's tomorrow at 8 o'clock schedule. The 11 seed, Alex de Minaur from Australia. I'm going to go Liam Brody at plus 525. So heavy.
That is a heavy underdog.
I'm just feeling a little, you know, national pride.
For England?
For England.
Okay.
There really is not. I mean, they had, Andy Murray is a Scot, but, you know, UK. Tim Henman back in the day.
Okay.
We haven't had a ton of Brits do really well on the men's side. Joanna Konta a couple of years ago do well. Haven't had a lot of Brits. So give me Liam Brody at plus 525.
Okay. Enjoy that. Blake Snell's on the mound tonight for the Padres against the Dodgers. A couple. But give me the Padres over the Dodgers plus 145 on the money line.
Like it.
I think it's a great matchup.
Sure.
I actually watched a little bit of that game last night.
Betting baseball is hard.
Oh, I know.
Betting baseball is hard. I think you have to play games with it. All right, Rafael Nadal against Lorenzo Sonego. They will play tomorrow. The two seed Nadal. All right, Nadal's a huge favorite. All right, but I'm going to forecast a little bit of a slow start. I think there will be a break of serve in the first set for each player at plus 200.
Okay.
Service break for each in the first set at plus 200. Nadal, Sonego.
I got nothing.
Okay, it's fine.
Now, my final pick for the day, I got to go back to the PLL because
sure
I have to.
Got the whip rattlers.
That's the whip snakes.
Sorry.
Get it right.
The Comets.
There you go.
The Cleeks.
Okay. Well, the Atlas play the Chrome today.
Flyers.
Give me Eric Law. Give me Eric Law over 3.5 points for the Atlas tonight against the Chrome, plus 140.
All right, I was going to do a third Wimbledon bet, but I'm not. I'm not doing a third Wimbledon bet. I'm very excited for Mo Salah signing back on with Liverpool we don't know the terms of the deal, but he has one more year left on his contract. He has signed an extension to keep him at Anfield for probably the end of his Premier League career. They open up August 5th. This is a future, way into the future. Liverpool is at Craven Cottage against Fulham. They're bumping up from the football championship.
Okay.
A draw.
All right.
Plus 440. All the hype. I'm going with Fulham to kind of bow their necks. Give me a draw, Liverpool and Fulham at plus 440. I don't think Liverpool's going to lose, but I like Fulham to play well in their opener back in the Premier League.
This is the Adam Gold Show.